But tonight is Diane Nelson's night. She's back, we're so happy to have.
Scared to death.
I don't know why, because your work is so eloquent, and, you know, it's amazing to think of. Diane got her master's in art education at Eastern Michigan University and had a very powerful and long career in Anchorage teaching. There are still parents and people who grew up in Anchorage who remember being kids that got to go to Diane's studio to bring them to her home, and they learn about, you know, art in a really personal, you know, way, like, how does an artist work? And now, for about the last 15 years, she's been devoted to her studio practice. And this is her second show at Bunnell. She's in the Anchorage Museum collection. She's very well recognized and exhibited outside of Alaska through juried shows. And I really admire her commitment and tenacity to getting her work out there. It's not an easy thing. We can easily kind of just be sort of provincial Alaskans, you know, and kind of like not either aware of or honored by the outside world, right? We just work.
You really have to seek it out.
Yes.
Otherwise, your work just is stacked up in the guest room bed.
Tell us about it. Give us a walkthrough if you want to.
I had to make some notes because I tried to think of all the things that you might want to know, and I'm sure there's going to be other things, and you're welcome to ask questions later. But I'll just tell you a little bit about my the work I have here today, my background, which informs this work, and then I'll talk a little bit about my process. And as an artist, I've worked in a lot of different materials, but for several years now, I've been focused on working with fabric. The pieces shown here are a collection of my experiments. And I really like to approach it in all of my work in an experimental, improvisational way. So they're not planned out. It's just like whatever what happens on the design wall. And when it looks good, then it's done. So these are all layered and sewn together with a quilt-like structure, but I make them, of course, to hang on the wall like a painting. And I use some of the tools and techniques from traditional quilting, but my goal is really to invent new ways of expressing my ideas with cloth. I've been making this kind of work for about 15 years, but I started down this path a long time ago. I really come from a self-sufficient family of makers and creative problem solvers. Working in cloth was the tradition in my family, and my mother taught me how to sew when I was about 10. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, she organized a 4-H club in our neighborhood, and she invited all of my friends to join. And she started us with simple hand sewing, but then eventually we were making aprons and dresses, and we modeled our projects at the county fair. And we called our little sewing club the Suburbanettes. So over the years, I got pretty good at sewing, and I really developed a love for working with fabric, and I've been making things ever since. And making art has always been my passion. It was the focus of my study through school. It was my major in college, and then after college, I went on to teach art in public schools for 31 years. And for another 15 years after I left public schools, I taught private art classes in my studio, in my home studio. So that was a really long career with teaching art. And actually, learning about art and teaching art and making art has been a lifelong pursuit for me. Mm. The work I'm doing now is really the perfect combination of skills and passions. Creating art with fabric using my sewing skills and my art and design background is like my happy place. I'm most interested in making abstract compositions. And working with formal design elements is at the core of my artistic practice. I use colors and shapes and lines and patterns to illustrate my ideas and communicate feelings. These elements are really my expressive vocabulary. They're my visual language. When it comes to design, I like to improvise. I usually go to the studio with an idea in mind and maybe a simple sketch, but I never have a firm plan. I usually just start cutting out shapes. I select colors, then I start cutting out shapes and arranging them on the design wall. And I move them around and make changes and analyze until I think the composition looks good. And then I sew it together. But this intuitive designing is really the most engaging part of the process for me. I don't use any templates or patterns. It's all original. The work I have here today really represents a major shift in my way of working. My first 10 years of studio practice, I made my designs in fabric using an intricate piecing technique. Does everybody know what I mean by piecing?
No.
I see some. I did, because I'm a teacher, I brought along some visual aids. So this is an example of piecing. This is a composition that I pieced. So all the lines between the shapes on the front are smooth because on the back, it's all quarter-inch seams between each tiny shape. So that piecing technique, as you can imagine, takes a lot of time. And then, of course, this gets layered with batting and backing and stitched and then finished the edges. And all the pieces on this wall were made by piecing. So they all have seams between each line that you see there. And actually, just as an aside, all the colors, the solid colors in these pieces, I started with white fabric and I dyed the fabric myself. Because the range of colors that I want to use is not available in commercial fabrics. So I have totes full of dyed fabric in my studio. I have 50 different colors of red and of every other color. And I also use commercial fabrics, so I have, this one is from a series that I made using incorporating stripes. So I have a tote full of stripe fabrics, commercial stripe fabrics. And each of these pieces, this is from a series I made, maybe 8 pieces using this kind of linear pattern, this linear composition. So each of these are from different series. I have over 100 pieces in this that I made in these 10 years using this process. But then it began to feel tedious and restricted. And so I was looking for something that was more fun and freer. So this piece here is my transition piece. This was the first piece I made. And it's not pieced. It's a raw edge applique. I started with a red fabric in the back, and I cut out shapes and just started arranging them and sewing them on. It was liberating. I had a major shift in my way of working after making this piece. So all of the pieces on this wall, they are all made with a variety of techniques. Raw edge applique, turned edge applique, fusing, piecing, machine stitching, hand stitching, embroidery. This was a no-holds-barred approach. Just do it all, do whatever looks good. My intent was to make still work with abstraction, but it made it so much more fun.
to have the freedom to work that way. So I lost my place in my notes, but I will tell you that this body of work I call stitching or thinking outside the block. Because if you look, you'll see on several of them, I've included a traditional quilt block of some sort. And then I've expanded beyond that. I've tried to push it beyond that traditional block and come up with something new. So my intent is to make them engaging and interesting and playful. I'm not trying to tell a story or make a statement. It's all just out of my imagination. And you feel free to imagine whatever you think it might represent. So I'm not sure what I have left out, but if you have any questions about my work, I would be happy to try to answer them.
Yes, do you, are you machine quilting or do you have a computer set up?
Oh no, I don't do, everything is by hand.
So that's
I actually, in my studio, I have three machines. One is a machine that will only do straight stitch. Mm-hmm. Does a perfect straight stitch really fast. I have one machine that does a zigzag and some fancy stitches. And this one I had to quilt on by hand on a machine that's called a mid-arm. It's bigger, it has a bigger throat, but it doesn't have any feed dogs. I have to do all the work. So I have to make sure that there is enough support under the piece so that I can put my hands on it and I move the fabric under the needle. So it's like drawing with the sewing machine. So this one was done on my mid-arm. And it's hard on the body, actually, on your shoulders. You have to be careful and take a break, do some of these. But yeah, the mid-arm, I don't have a long arm. Some people use a long arm. But I do have this mid-arm machine that I do all this kind of work on.
Did you start, let's say with this piece, do you start with one block, like this section, and then add another section, or did you start here and then work this way? Or?
I didn't have a plan.
So
but I did. I brought some visual aids. But I started with, I have a huge collection of stripe fabric, a tote full of them. Different kinds of stripes. So I created these little units. So I have some units that are purple and some units that are mostly yellow and some units that are pink, and they all have different kinds of stripes in them. And then I have, so I made like 150 of those. Then I have a big design wall. The design wall is covered with a flannel fabric, so I can go up to the design wall and just stick a piece on. I don't have to pin it. I can just try out a composition, say, how does that look? So I put all of them up. I might try making like purple stripes and yellow stripes and green stripe and blue stripe. Then I take a picture of it to record it. And then I go back and try something else. Well, what will it look like if I do this purple in a zigzag? I'm going to make the purple go like this. So I'll lay those all out. I'll take a photograph. And I did that maybe 10 different compositions. And then picked the one I liked the best. And that's how I sew it together. And once I've done that, sewing it together is pretty straightforward because it's just straight lines.
Yeah.
But
so all of these are blocks that you started.
Right, like this was a little block of yellow, and this was a little block, and this was a little block, and they were all just arranged on the design wall. That's, that improvised design. So there are a lot of different, and like this one here, I made each of these little units, and then arrange them and then sew them together. So the design wall is really a critical piece of my equipment.
What is your design wall? What material is your design wall?
Well, I actually have a couple different ones. I have, from Lowe's, I got some big pieces of foam that are 8 feet tall, Rich.
Right.
I fasten them together so they're hinged, so I can make a design wall that is about 6 feet wide and 8 feet tall. And then when I'm not using it, I can fold it up and put it in a crawl space. And it's covered with flannel, and I can pin into it if I need to, because it's foam. And then I have some other smaller design walls that are the size of a foam core, a large foam core. So I wrap those in flannel, and I can just set those wherever I want to do small things. And when I want to take a picture, I put the piece on the small one, take it outside, and I do all my own photography then.
Yeah. So in this process, is there ever a time where you can't see it anymore? You've been working on it so much, you know, it's hard to make a decision. Do you bring people in at all to say, like, what do you think, or to get any sort of feedback?
Rarely.
It's rarely.
And I always reach that point with every piece where I hate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, you know, what am I doing? You know, how am I going to fix this? It doesn't work anymore. Let's see, where is the piece that's this big piece in the back here? This section right down here, I had all of this laid out. So this section right here wasn't done. It took me 3 days to figure it out. Because I kept cutting out shapes, sticking them up, taking a picture, didn't like that. Take those up, cut out something else, stick it up, try that. Usually near the end, that's the most frustrating part, when you just can't get that last thing. But that's a lot easier than when I was doing piecing. If I did a whole composition with piecing and there was a red square over here that I didn't want, I had to take my little
seam ripper
and take that out, take that piece, cut it out so it would be just exactly the same thing, and put a blue piece in there instead of a red piece. And with every piece, I probably always changed at least 25 pieces. When I thought the composition was done. But I went back and changed something because I'm that fussy.
Talk about cutting stuff apart. Like when you were talking yesterday, when you were hanging it and you were telling us how the stripe series went.
Okay.
This
piece actually started as about 30. At first I came up with a composition with shapes, and they were all curved shapes. And I repeated that composition and made 25 blocks that all had the same shapes but different color arrangements. And to make it more interesting than that simple block design, I just cut it up. So I cut each of those blocks into 6 pieces. And then I took those smaller shapes and arrange those to make a new composition. And that's how I ended up with some of these tiny little things, you know, insanely tiny things, is because I cut up something that was bigger. Mm-hmm. But it made it, that was one way to make it more complex and to have the flexibility to move things all around and make decisions about it.
Wow.
That takes guts. It really does.
Or you have to be crazy.
So Diane, like on a piece like that, I should study it up closer. Like,
do you ever know the face?
Do you study a
piece like that? Actually, this particular piece was one big white piece of fabric. And I start by cutting out the big shapes, these big background shapes, this big blue, this big orange circle, this black. And I attach those big background shapes first, and then I go back and do the detail. And something like this, the background was like, this was pieced here, and it was pieced here. So it had like some big chunks of color in the background instead of one big color. But then I went back and added the pieces on top of it.
So, okay, so this was after you did this
piece,
and then you got it.
Right. And these little pieces are attached initially with a fusing material. So it's like a glue, an iron-on material that will hold it in place so I can stitch it.
And then you can undo it if you want to move it.
If you want to move it, you can actually put the iron on there and move it. And then these lines are, I made the bias strips out of, you know, by cutting diagonal. And I made my own bias strips so that they would curve. And then those are just hand stitched on top of the whole thing.
So this piece of material, did you dye this yourself?
The solid?
Or is this a commercial?
This background is a commercial background.
Uh-huh, okay.
The solid red is dyed, and this color is dyed. Most of the solid colors I dyed myself. But I liked some of the commercial patterns. So I'll use anything that I think works. Even if you have to cut up a shirt or something.
Do you listen to music or television or listen to anything while you're doing
Yeah, I do listen to music.
Okay. And what type of music?
Meghan Trainor.
Or the Dixie Chicks.
Or
Wow.
Something lively, I usually
listen to. Yeah, I see music.
Ghettoized, and 30 years ago we started to challenge that, and now I don't even think, I mean, you could be doing this in a painting program, you know? It's like, I'm curious what you think about, like, some of those traditional rails, you know, that we tend to grow in. Like, you grew up sewing and quilting, mm-hmm. And do you think that's why you're doing it in fabric? Have you ever?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's my... I came to it naturally because that's what I learned to do when I was little. And I loved working the textile experience of working with fabric. And plus, working with fabric, you can do anything with it. I mean, you can dye it, you can paint on it, you can fold it, you can make pleats, you can make sculpture with it. You know, it's so versatile that it's really, the possibilities are limitless of what you can do. And because I'm a teacher, I know that, and I wanted to learn a lot of techniques. I've also taken classes from some excellent fiber artists and learned some of these processes. And I traveled outside to do that. But instead of just experimenting with everything, you know, I picked up some tricks along the way.
Can you say a word about your neck? Thus.
Oh, I had a solo show in San Diego at Visions Museum, and this is one of the pieces they had in their gift shop there. So I got it. Did I leave anything out, Richard? This is my husband, Richard.
Hi.
He's my sous chef and my partner, my helper in the studio. We have a real system of hanging things. He helps me with a lot of things.
He does have some shirts left. He does have some what?
Shirts.
Some shirts left.
But I do have a stack of his shirts that are those ones that you have to iron. that they could definitely go into something someday because I don't want to iron it anymore.
How do you feel about these being called quilts versus paintings, and why would some be framed and why wouldn't you frame them all? I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
My preference would be to call it textile art, and I would think of myself as a textile artist. The term quilt to me refers more to something that would be more functional, and my intent is not to make something that's functional. Although there are artists that make just fabulous quilts to go on the bed that are functional. So it's just a personal thing. The term art quilt is used all over though to describe and serious textile, what I would call textile shows are described as like Quilt National. And in Quilt National, you know, everything is really contemporary textile art. But it's just put together in using that quilt structure.
What about frames?
I like the big pieces without frames. Mm-hmm. But the small pieces, I like adding the frames because it gives it a little more substance. You know, it's, so it makes it look like it's not a placemat.
It also yeah. focuses your eye.
Yeah.
It focuses your eye in.
So I found those frames and I really love the finish of it. So on the small pieces. And also when I on the big pieces, because I ship a lot of work out to shows, it's so much easier to just be able to roll it up and you know, put some plastic around and put it in a tube and send it instead of finding some big fancy box for it. So I like them without a fabric frame too. I like the design to go right to the edge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.